Welcome to Fresno's Best Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Maddox. Today we have Christopher Reyes on the show. Chris is the owner of the soon-to-open We Rock the Spectrum Inclusive Sensory Gym in Clovis. Drawing on his experience raising two children on the autism spectrum and his background as a nurse, Chris is going to walk us through the philosophy behind inclusive gyms, how sensory-friendly equipment works, the balance between challenge and safety, and why Fresno desperately needs more accessible play spaces. I know you'll enjoy this conversation. Let's go meet Chris. Infiltrate the pod waves on infinite quests, investigating, making convos to elevate guests. Politics, religion, culture, art, music, show some respect to the best little city left in the U.S. Fresno's best. Fresno's best. Christopher, where do you like to eat in Fresno?
I'm a food truck guy. I love Filipino food, so my number one go-to spot, and I go there like once a week, is El Jabalito. They're at Gazebo Garden sometimes, and yeah, follow them on their Instagram. They're all over the place, and they have good Filipino food like adobo, pancit, all that good stuff. And they won Best Horchata by the Fresno Bee, I think, or some award that was given to them because of their drinks. So yeah, definitely check El Jabalito, other Filipino foods like Jolie's, also in Fresno, and bread and butter, good Filipino pastries over there.
Okay, let's talk about a few Filipino food things. First question, when are we getting a Jollibee?
That is a very controversial topic.
Yes, do you like Jollibee?
I love Jollibee, eating it since I was a kid. See, I was born in New Jersey, but I spent most of my childhood in the Philippines from first grade until college. And yeah, Jollibee almost every week. And when are we going to get a Jollibee? We don't know. We were supposed to get one in a fashion fair.
Yeah, I was still wondering what happened with that exactly.
They cleared a space. Fashion fair, I called them. The fashion fair doesn't want to say a word about what's going on. So there's something, there's a conspiracy theory going on. And I hope they do come back. I don't know if their model is like a franchisee operator thing, but that space is still blank. And hopefully it'll still come into fruition, but it's just a matter of when.
Okay. My next question for you, how do you know, or what are characteristics of a good adobo in your mind? What, I know there's a lot of variations, but for you, what is the best adobo?
The best adobo for me would be the pork version. A lot of people like the chicken, a lot of people like the mix, but I think pork really brings out the flavor, and it's a perfect marriage of soy sauce and vinegar. If that's done, it makes it better. But then again, each person's different. Every person will have their own preference in how the ratio of ingredients will come into play. But yeah, if you mix that soy sauce and vinegar, right, and then make it pork only, that's me. That's what I like.
Do you like it really slowly cooked?
Yes, I do like it slowly cooked. It really makes the flavor come out and the meat really tender. And that's how I like it. But yeah, if we're in a rush, if my mom needs to cook it right away, it gets the job done, regardless of how it's done. But if there's time, yeah, definitely slow cook.
Okay, so we're going to transition from Filipino food to inclusive gyms. And I'm fascinated by inclusive gyms, and I have lots of kind of questions for you, both about philosophy, how you approach operating a gym like this, but also implementation, how you overcome challenges, because there's a lot of challenges in these gyms, from my understanding, that you have to overcome with kids and with operations, with parents who have a lot of perspective, desires, needs, all those kinds of things. So let's jump into just some basic stuff. Like, what is an inclusive gym?
An inclusive gym is where all kids of all abilities are accepted into this space. If you go to a regular indoor playground or gym, it's kids, neurotypical, what we call them, or normally developing kids, they behave in a certain way that's socially appropriate. And that's what a regular gym is. But there is a part of the population that behaves differently than the regular kid. And they have, some have autism, sensory issues, ADHD. And an inclusive gym accepts all these kids, regardless of background and regardless of ability or disability.
Do you think an inclusive gym can exist within a standard gym, or do they need to be separate spaces so you can control what goes on?
I envision a world where all spaces can be inclusive and regular gym can have an inclusive part of it. There are some indoor playgrounds in the Fresno area. They're working towards it, where they would have sensory Sundays, where there would be a part of the day where lights are dimmer, music is slower and lower and more soft. These can accommodate kids with sensory issues and those who have difficulty with overstimulation. So I think the world is headed into the right direction where all these spaces meant only for regular kids, regular people, are becoming more inclusive.
Okay. So when I'm sure you have an array of people that would come to a gym like this, how do you think about trying to meet a lot of different needs? Because there's a spectrum of needs that exists from sensory issues, like you talked about, physical stuff where there's certain physical limitations. Like, how do you think about trying to meet the needs of a large, diverse community?
So we try to accommodate as many abilities as we can, as many disabilities. We make sure there's always a piece of the pie for everybody, whether they need a space for a lot to regulate their body. There's going to be a lot of swings. We Rock the Spectrum is a space where there's a lot of equipment that can be found in an occupational therapy office. So this equipment helps regulate the senses of these kids, helps them calm down. So we make sure that a variety of needs are met through this equipment.
Yeah, I was going to ask, that was my next question, was going to ask, like, what if you're just a person walking in for the first time, what you'll notice in terms of differences between your gym and then maybe a standard gymnastics gym, for example?
So at first, when you look at it for the first glance, you'll see, oh, it's the same. But once that kid tests those equipment, those swings, those monkey bars, zip sliders, sensory tunnels, everything, then they'll realize, hey, this is different. This is something we've never experienced in other indoor playgrounds or in sensory ed or in other gyms. They'll be able to sense it right away as soon as they
once you
test
start
the
using
equipment.
The
Yeah,
equipment.
once you start.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a big philosophical question here. I'm curious your perspective. I've had a lot of discussions with friends with kids that have certain needs, and we're always discussing this kind of spectrum of adjusting the environment to meet the needs of the kid or allowing the kid to work through adjusting to an environment. So when you're thinking about what you do, how do you think about that spectrum of challenging kids but also scaffolding the environment so it meets their needs?
So before, by the way, the We Rock the Spectrum is our franchise. There's 200 yeah. locations across the world. I'm the owner for the Clovis location, hopefully first of few Central Valley We Rock the Spectrums. And we're still in construction. We're still yeah. working on it. We're not open yet.
Yeah.
So this is why it's very important in construction mode, and while we're planning all this, that we studies have been made. The corporate office and the owners of the franchise, they've made a lot of research on what can suffice the needs of all these kids. So we make sure that everything is placed properly, everything is installed the way that would benefit all types of kids on the spectrum and any type of disability, and not only autism, but kids with Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, and all other conditions that give them some sort of disability dealing with the world.
Yeah, but for you, how do you think about that spectrum of, like, when do you challenge a kid versus when do you try to adjust the environment to meet the kid's needs?
So it's really from a philosophical standpoint, and I'm the one, with the staff, the owners, we're the ones who are going to adjust to what the kids need. We listen to parents, hey, what could we have done differently? What could we do to make this better? And we, the staff, we adjust. And yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you meet the kids when you see a need. That's when you judge it in a case by case basis. Okay.
Yes.
Another topic that comes up in this world is belonging. We hear about this in schools when kids have a one-on-one aide, trying to balance meeting the needs of the kids, but also putting them in environments where they can feel a sense of belonging. Because it could be easy to pull them aside and do one-on-one coaching or therapy with a kid, but you also want that kid to have those social experiences. So how do you try to create a sense of belonging with kids at the gym?
So this is why it's important we don't only have kids that have disabilities, but also normally developing kids or neurotypical kids. That way they both learn from each other. Kids on the spectrum or kids with disabilities can learn from behaviors of those normally developing kids. And the normally developing kids, they can learn that there's a world out there, that it's not only normal behavior. There's also a lot of kids that don't behave the same way as they do. So with that synchrony, with that back and forth between the normal and the special ed kids, it creates a sense of inclusion, belonging, and acceptance.
Okay. So I know that parents with kids with disabilities can are often like super active in those kids' lives, helping them receive services, different things. What's your ideal way for a parent to interact at a gym like this? Because you want to give the kids an opportunity to explore spaces without kind of constant parent supervision. You also want your staff to be able to interact with kids, give them opportunities to explore and try new things. Like, how do you think about the role parents should play at a gym like this?
Every we rock the spectrum, we always want the parent to not be on their phone. We always want the parent to be with the kid, not in a super micromanaging way, but we still want the parent to be there with the kid all the time because there's other kids too, and the parent should be actively involved in watching over the kid, observe those interactions of that of her or his child with other kids as well. So yeah, we don't want them to be away from the kid. We want them to be with the kid all the time, and yes.
Yeah, but would you encourage them to try and give them a bit more space? How would you think about creating an opportunity for the kids to have an authentic experience?
Yeah, definitely. We encourage socializations among kids, but then again, it's going to be on the wall. There's a sign there that parents have to be with the kid at all times because sometimes behavior can get out of hand, and we need that parent to help guide that kid. And because no one else knows the kid better than the parent, so it's important that the parent is always involved when they're in the gym.
That makes sense. I have a question about sensory issues because you brought that up earlier and something I was thinking about too. Gyms can often be chaotic and loud places. How do you work with kids with sensory issues in a place like that where you can't really control the environment?
Absolutely. We cannot control how the other kids are behaving in that environment. So we have what we call a calming room. This is where kids, when they can become sensory overloaded, they can go to that calming room. It's a darkened, dim room with our gym is going to have this space-themed stars and stuff. And they'll be able to go in there and rest and regulate themselves in that space. So if they get overloaded, yeah, you have a calming room to go to and calm down.
Okay. How do you think about injury risk? There's kids are going to be trying new things. There can be some can be unclear how they're going to respond to certain objects in the gym. Like, how do you think about risk versus too much risk in a gym space like that?
Yeah, this goes back to the argument earlier that parents should be with the kid at all times and to prevent injury because no one knows the kid else than the parent. And we have also waivers in place that parents will sign before the kid enters that there is a risk involved in places like this because other kids may behavior more aggressively than others, especially those who have severe needs on the spectrum. Yeah, we have all these safeguards in place. We make sure the equipment is safe. We test the equipment every day. We make sure nothing breaks or while they're doing the zip line or the zip slider, we make sure that it doesn't break when they use it. And we do all these testing and maintenance things to do to be able to prevent injury.
So we've been talking about physical a lot, but I want to talk about cognitive. What are the cognitive benefits of having a child work in a gym or play in a gym like this? What is it doing? How are their minds being challenged as well as their bodies?
Yeah, aside from the physical aspect of it, cognitive-wise, we have an arts and craft area where the kid can draw, express their artistic side. That's it helps with their cognitive. There's a lot of puzzles they can play with. There's the interaction with other kids. It also builds the cognitive side of things. It builds a lot of ways how to deal with others socially. This is all improves the cognitive side of things.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at with the social or with the cognitive question was this social interaction that happens. So there's going to be kids on different or on the same equipment, and they're going to have to learn to use things together. There's going to be some challenges with that. They're going to be testing their boundaries to see what they're comfortable with and what they're not, and expressing that. So it seems like there's a lot of opportunity for that kind of cognitive work.
Yes, again, kids will never run out of stuff to do, so they can develop all their physical, mental, emotional development.
Yeah, let's talk about growth because this is a big subject, which is I've done a lot of podcasts with yoga practitioners here in Fresno, and we're always talking about that spectrum between discomfort and pain, right? And in order to have a sense of growth, there has to be some discomfort, but you want to stop it before there's pain. So maybe a kid's on the monkey bars and it's really hard to hold themselves up, but that's a challenge that they need. versus a situation where the discomfort has reached a point where it's turning into pain. So how do you think about the role of discomfort at a gym in encouraging kids to test boundaries and push themselves in a certain way?
A lot of these kids are not able to articulate or communicate properly if there's pain or discomfort. But when a kid starts acting aggressively, if the parent says the kid's not acting as normal, we have to diffuse that situation and remove that from the situation. If they're having some pain using the zip line a lot, then we encourage the parents to say, hey, maybe you could try something else. So we want to make sure that before it escalates to something where kids are super aggressive, we want to make sure that we talk with the parent, ask them how can we help? How can we reduce escalation of these behaviors?
Wow. Can we talk a little bit about therapy? Because you have a gym, it's not a therapy office, but there's similarities and connections. So how do you see the relationship between an inclusive gym and the world of therapy that a lot of these kids are probably in as well?
So a lot of kids on the spectrum, they have speech therapy, occupational, some have physical therapy, and we welcome those professionals to come into the gym. If they want to bring their behavioral therapist as well, they can bring them in. That way, if they want a different environment from home, because that's where a lot of therapies happen, or in the therapy office, they can also have that at a play-based environment like our indoor playground at We Rock the Spectrum.
Okay. One of the things and criticisms I've heard of some inclusive gyms is that they're too expensive, and you want to create an environment that includes as many people as possible. How do you think about addressing that problem in a community like Fresno?
Before we came up with a price, we had to see the competition, the market, and see how other gyms are priced at. We don't want to be, even though our equipment is typically more expensive than the regular indoor playground sensory or gym equipment, we want to make sure that it's of market value, competitive. So we made sure that our prices are similar, if not lower, than the other indoor playgrounds and gyms.
Okay. So it's competitive, but is sliding scale something? Is this something where you can work with schools? Like, I'm just trying to envision like what gyms could look like for Fresno more broadly.
Yeah, so we already have like 5 bookings for field trips for 2026.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So schools reach out, Fresno Unified, Clovis Unified, and the Yosemite Charter. They want to reserve a spot at our gym for 2026. I said, yeah, sure. Yeah, this is a big opportunity for a group of special ed kids in one class to interact together away from the classroom and within that inclusive gym. So I'm really looking forward to that, meeting the teachers and the aides, and building these relationships with the different school districts of the area.
Great. Let's talk about something that's on your website, and I have some questions about it, which is play with purpose. What's the difference between play with purpose and then therapy-led play?
So play with a purpose, the whole concept of this is we're exercising and stimulating all the 7 senses through positive physical, emotional, and social development. So what are the 7 senses? So we have sight, smell, taste, hearing, touch, and the sometimes overlooked sense, which is vestibular. The vestibular sense or vestibular system is how our body reacts to gravity, movement, and balance. So it measures things like acceleration, g-force, body movements, and head position. Play with a purpose is our trademark here in We Rock the Spectrum. We want to make sure all the 7 senses are involved. And the way it differs with therapy-led is with play with a purpose is we have the kid lead development through play, through their own cognition, through their own direction. Where in therapy-led is we always have this, not in a bad thing, but therapy-led is we have therapists leading and directing the structure of their environment. So having them come through our indoor playground, our sensory gym, it gives them the chance to be child-led instead of therapy-led.
Gotcha. Let me ask you a few questions about play with purpose. I know one of the core ideas in play with purpose is that it's student-directed or child-directed, rather. Let's imagine a parent comes up to you and says, I'm trying to maintain a situation where my child is making choices, they're self-directing, they're in therapy a lot where it's adult-led or therapist-led, but I find that they keep wanting to gravitate to the same equipment over and over again, and I want to push them to branch out to try new things. What would be your advice on how to approach that with a child?
We don't want to, if a child wants to be on the train set all the time, all 2 hours a day, we let him be. It's their chance to have a child-led environment away from the regular therapy side of things where everything's adult-led. So we let the kid and the parent decide on what they want to do when they come into our space.
So your response to the
Yeah.
parent would be just let the kid choose the equipment because this is child directed, right?
Yeah, just let the child choose, and we could verbalize, hey, there are other stuff here too. But if the kid wants to be in that zip line all that 2 hours they're allowed to be in the gym, yeah, but we let them be. It's the world is their oyster, and we let them do their
How would you know that play with purpose is working? What are the kinds of things you'd look for to get a sense that as like an approach and a goal is working?
When the behavior of the kid is calmed down, they have lesser undesirable behaviors, and when they're just smiling and happy and regulated, calmed down, and it means that this play with a purpose concept and philosophy is working, that we're exciting all these seven of the kid.
I want to ask some questions about you now. So, working in this world, how does that change the way you see just your day-to-day life?
Before I've met, we rock the spectrum. I have two kids on the spectrum. So my son and daughter, they have the autism diagnosis. And so we experienced firsthand going to regular playgrounds, and we didn't get kicked out, but we always had to apologize for behaviors of our kids. And when I was living in LA, I lived there for 10 years, we went to a We Rock the Spectrum location, and we realized, hey, there's actually a place where we don't have to say I'm sorry anymore. So that's our tagline. Finally, a place where you never have to say I'm sorry. And yeah, when we moved to the Valley 3 years ago, I told my wife, we don't have things like this in the Valley. There's a lack of resources. So let's have something like this. So that's why last year, me and my wife decided, okay, let's get a franchise. Let's talk to the franchise and have one here in the Valley. I'm a registered nurse by trade. I've been a nurse for 15 years. It was an awesome job. Typical Filipino, again, doing healthcare stuff, but it wasn't really the first choice of what I wanted to do. I really wanted to go into entrepreneurship and business and find something that I'm passionate about. And this is it. This creating that inclusive space for people in the Central Valley. I think that's my purpose in life at this point in my life. Yeah.
Okay, let's say just hypothetically, you were put in charge of the Parks and Recreation Department for the city of Fresno. They said, we want you on the job for a month and we want you to help make our playgrounds in the city of Fresno more inclusive. What would be some things that you would do to change our parks in the city to make them less like places where you have to say you're sorry?
Yeah, it comes down to first and foremost education. We can put up a lot of signs in those parks saying that, hey, kids come here of different abilities, and let's have this environment of acceptance and inclusion. We accept all kids. Those parks definitely have to be, because kids are trying to escape sometimes these parks. These are elopers. They try to escape the park. So we have to make sure that the boundaries of those parks are sealed well. And
Like fences? Is that what you're saying? Or
There's some sort of fences, because that way because there are a lot of kids on the spectrum, they want to run away just suddenly for them not to be hit by any vehicles or some sort. We want, having fences would be good. So across the country, there are some inclusive outdoor playground spaces, and we don't yet have something here in the Valley. So that's something hopefully someone can envision and have something like that here, where we have all these sensory outdoor playground equipment. And yeah.
yeah, I was going to ask you about the typical playground equipment. Are there things that make it problematic for kids that have disabilities? Your typical plastic slides and monkey bars and the typical play equipment that you
Yeah,
see.
the those like my kid, my autistic kid, he got hit by a seesaw because he was just running around, and it was so big, and so little stuff like that, making sure that they're safe, cushioned well, and being able to protect the kid from getting injured, because it's always going to be safety first in these situations.
Okay.
And we want to, make sure that everything stuff are padded, the floor is appropriate,
You
and
like
cushioned
that,
well.
like that padding, cushy? Is that the ideal kind of surface you'd want?
Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah, and a lot
Versus
of playgrounds.
sand. What is there a downside to
Yeah,
sand?
versus sand. Sand is cool too. Having that cushioned turf or playground surface on the floor, that's really what's recommended.
What's your favorite park to take your kids to in Fresno right now? Which park do you think if you had to point to a park somewhere in the city of Fresno or Clovis that you think is doing is a little bit better, what would you say?
We live near Dry Creek Park here in Clovis, and our kids can escape easily, but it's a good outdoor playground for normally developing kids. And there are other private playgrounds, like from churches and other organizations. They work too, but there, I don't think any park in the Clovis Fresno area is set yet for having this good for kids on the spectrum.
So that's a challenge of the city of Fresno and the city of Clovis, I think, which I think we need more parks because parks, the idea of a park is that it's accessible for anyone. And obviously, cities have limitations. They can't meet every need, but I think one or two parks in a city is a start. I think that would be a great thing for the city of Fresno.
Yeah, one park to start in Fresno in a strategic location. Yeah, that would be awesome. But
Okay.
yeah.
Yeah, we close these podcasts every time with book recommendations. Do you have some books that you'd like to recommend to listeners?
So right now I'm reading two books. This first book is by Dave Ramsey called Intro Leadership, because this is my first time dwelling into business, and it gave me a lot of learnings in how to run a business, how to motivate. It's really about being a leader in business and motivating your staff and your team members and to be passionate about the job they're doing. And this other book, it's called Sell Crazy by Every Subi. It's about marketing in general, because having that good indoor playground sensor gym is one thing, but spreading the word about it is another thing. So that's really important to me. Social media is a very important part of our marketing strategy, and we want to make sure that a lot of people, as much people as possible, is notified that we're here, we're opening soon, and we're coming in soon in early 2026.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, that was going to be my final question. Where can people go online to find more about your gym, but also specifics on when it will open and, how it will work in terms of, is this like a monthly subscription? If you could come and just give us the basic information about what to expect.
Yeah, please follow us on at We Rock Clovis on Instagram, Threads, Facebook, TikTok. You'll find their grand opening announcements. You can also go to WeRockTheSpectrumClovis.com. If anyone outside of Fresno is listening and you want to open your own We Rock the Spectrum, go to WRTSFranchise.com and you'll find more information there. Our rate is $18.99, very competitive, very similar to other indoor playgrounds in the area. That's up to 2 hours. You also have the option to play for the whole day if you want to, but we think 2 hours is enough. And you can also have your birthday parties. You can have field trips, like I mentioned earlier. You can have private play dates, and there's going to be a lot of events like character appearances. And yeah. And oh, I wanted to say one more thing. On April 18th, in celebration of Autism Month, we're going to have this event called Special Kids Fest. It's going to be held at the Clovis Ac Senior Activity Center. Follow us on social media to get to know more about how to get tickets to it. And it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of indoor playground stuff. You'll see Elsa, Blippi, Spider-Man, and Ariel. You get to have some balloon making and face painting. And yeah, it's on social media to know more about it.
Okay, Christopher, this has been a lot of fun. Thanks for talking with me today.
Fresno's best.
Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can support this podcast by leaving us a rating and review or by making a financial contribution at our Patreon page, which is www.patreon.com/Fresno's Best. We'll see you next time.